to be our coach. You can sit down now, but I'll have some of you stand later. So Paul is our coach. Janie said, "Who's Paul?" She meant someone in our church. He is in the church, but he's not in the building. The Apostle Paul. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians. We're going to be studying 1 Corinthians. And so Paul was a coach, and his letter to the Corinthians was to correct problems in Corinth. And because Corinth is a church he planted, you could say it was a team that he started. And he knew them well, and like any coach or parent does, and he wanted to see them progress, and he was upset to see problems set in, and that many of them were not following his instructions. See, a coach he shows people how to train properly so they progress and succeed, so they don't quit and they don't get injured. Because when you get injured, there goes your progress. It goes way down and maybe you can't at all. And so we're going to do a demonstration here a little bit later. I'm going to supervise. Okay? But a coach doesn't want to see anyone get injured. And when things are going well, that success will motivate other people to join. The same thing goes on with the church. Now, people don't succeed by merely learning information about proper training. They succeed when they develop and use needed skills and by practicing them in real life. Coaches and trainers are a big help in moving people from theory to reality. It's not all positive. It must include the negative because we all make mistakes. And so a good coach shows people what they do wrong. He has to correct wrong training. It means proper training means stopping bad training and fixing it by practicing good training. A coach has to encourage sometimes, but other times he has to rebuke. He has to get in people's face and tell them what's wrong. Paul was this kind of a coach. His letter was scripture. Let's read this together. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See those elements in there? Proper teaching. But then it's watching how they do with the teaching and then making corrections, rebuking mistakes, not letting them go on, and then that equals training in righteousness. So today's message, we're going to compare training, physical training with spiritual training. We're going to witness live back squatting, okay? This is called a back squat. There's a front squat, and there's two back squats, the high back squat and the low back squat. We're going to do the high one, okay? I say we. And we're going to compare our needs, our spiritual needs, with the spiritual needs in the Corinthian church, and then we're going to see how Coach Paul can train us through his letter and the training that he gave the Corinthian church. Now, New Year's Eve, how many made resolutions? How many made a resolution about getting physically fit, going on a diet, walking, running, riding a bike, swimming, something like that? What is it? Weight training? Okay. What's your name? Shichao. Good to meet you. And you made a resolution?
Yeah.
For what? Like weight training.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Who else?
Keep walking.
Keep walking. Yes.
Less sugar.
Less sugar, okay. A lot of people don't want to hear that. Okay, but that's good. What else?
Flossing.
Flossing. That's good. All right. That's very good, actually. And so, And so this time of year, sales go up for gym memberships, right? And home gym equipment. They go way, way up. And then in 2 or 3 months, what happens? If you want to buy physical training equipment, wait till March. There's going to be a lot in that Craigslist and stuff like that. Because people are going to sell them at the first garage sale. There's a lot of quitting, a lot of failure. The major reason for most of this failure to keep these resolutions is a failure to get proper training. People need proper training. It's hard to do it on your own. It really is. Now, if you go to the internet, which I have done for a while, there's lots of training programs. There's charts, there's videos, there's articles. Some of them contradict one another. But like here's the one showing the three squats. The front squat, the high back squat, and then the low back squat, okay? So that's good. It gives you an example there. And here's the next one. This one I like is called The Art of Manliness. And see how this guy's outfit, he's got the strongman outfit, you know, and they're showing just the old stand-up rack with the two, what do you call those things?
Supports,
yeah. And now this is much better because you stand here, you pick it up, you back up, and you stand, and then you walk into it and just kind of slam it against the bar and then slide down. And if you drop it, can you see these? Some of you can't see them, but there's support bars there, so it doesn't drop to the floor and it doesn't drop on you. But you can do it the way he's doing it. You just have to make sure you're not maxing out and getting yourself exhausted. But they're showing the technique, and these are good. But it's nice not just to see a chart, but to see a live video. And so we have one of our own, Second Lieutenant Nick Flannery, is going to show us how to do a back squat.
I'm going to show you the proper form for a back squat, explain the technique that goes into it. So first I'll show you three reps on a bar loaded with 135.
He's doing it with the rack wrong because I couldn't film it any other way. This is in our gym downstairs, people. If you want to join it, there's a group of people using this gym downstairs. Yeah, and the cost is...
So when you're setting up for this movement,
yeah,
during the entire course of it, you want your chest wide, your chest facing forward, and your back straight. So to engage this movement, you first want to start by having your feet about shoulder width apart, toes facing slightly outward. To start the movement, you want to hinge at the hips, bending at the waist. You'll start to feel pressure on your hamstrings, back and your legs. Once you feel that pressure, you want to slowly lower yourself to the ground. You'll start to feel tension in your quads, front of your legs. As you're moving down, you want to feel the weight shift from the middle of your foot toward your heel. Once you get to the bottom of the movement, you want to make it to at least parallel, or this portion of your leg is at least parallel to the ground. Once you reach the bottom of the movement, you want to push your knees out toward your toes, exploding through the floor. Once you reach the top of the movement, you want to squeeze your glutes and push your hips through, finishing in an upright position. And those are the basic techniques for a back squat. Show you one more time, here's three more rounds. Feet apart, toes facing out, chest wide, back straight, hinge at the hips. Down slowly, make it past parallel, push through the floor, knees toward the toes. Hinge at the hips, down, pause, explode up. One more time. Hinge at the hips, down, explode through the heels.
All right.
And that is how to properly do a back squat.
Can you pause it there? Pretty good, huh? Are you ready to do it? You saw it. Are you guys ready to do it? Well, it's good to watch a video, but there's one problem with watching a video. What's that? It can't watch you. You can watch the video, but it can't watch you. What's the problem with that? How do you know if you're doing it right? He showed you, yeah. You know what he did, but it's hard to know what your own body is doing. You think you're doing what they showed you, but usually you're not, right? And you need someone to correct you and to say, stand up straight. I am standing up straight. No, you're not. Your knees are too close together. They're too far apart. Your feet are pointed in the wrong direction. Your back is rounded. It should be straight or slightly arched. Not that much. You see, you need someone to correct you because it's hard to see yourself. It's hard to be objective with yourself. We really have a hard time doing that. And so what we really need is a video is good, and if Nick were here, but he's not, he's up at Portage Lake, but we need a coach, and so we're going to call on Blaine. And he needs a subject, so we're going to call on Simon. And they're going to come up here, and Blaine's going to coach Simon how to do this.
All right, Simon, get in there.
All right. Look good to me.
Try and keep your knees out at the bottom as you go up, come up to the top. Make sure you use your hips. Get those glutes. Nice. Good. One more. Feel the burn?
Yeah. Thank you, gentlemen. Afterward, Blaine will give you lessons. Or Simon. And the thing, one of the things that's great about this is once you learn it, you can show someone else because you show what you learn, what you've actually done, what you've actually practiced. Isn't that the way with living the Christian life? Do you remember when we had Tobin and Mari up here on the unicycle? Right. Or was it you? No, it was Tobin and Mari. You were somewhere else with your dad. Playing soccer, I think. Okay. And I said, who's your teacher? And one of them said, we have many teachers, right? Because the people that already are advanced more than they are, teach them. And that's the way it is in the church. And so what you already know, you can teach. Of course, there's going to be different techniques and different ways of explaining it. And so some people are going to have favorite teachers and favorite techniques than others. And we have to be careful that doesn't become competitive. It needs to be a building effect and not competitive, because we'll see that's actually one of the problems that the Corinthian church had. And you need a coach because people are not always self-aware. They can't see themselves objectively. Or they'll copy others, and these others aren't actually good role models. Or they're doing advanced techniques. Like if you're doing the low squat, you actually, with the low bar, you actually look down. But when most people do the high bar, and you're supposed to look level, or approximately. And so if you see someone doing that and looking down, they might think that's the way you do the high bar, but it's not supposed to be that way. And so people are, by copying others, they might be copying bad mistakes, bad form, and doing things that either work the wrong muscles or even can cause injury. And they can just get sloppy. You can forget basics. And that's the same way with the Christian life. It's easy to get sloppy and forget the basics. What are the basics? Reading the Bible, praying, building up one another, showing love, being patient, forgiving, forbearing with one another, these kind of things. And so, why should we study 1 Corinthians? The church of Corinth, the church at Corinth, was founded personally by the Apostle Paul. So it had a good founding, don't you think? I think he's a pretty good church founder, church planter. It was on his second missionary journey, somewhere about 48, 49. He started and ended in 50 or 51 A.D. He spent a year and a half there, 18 months, teaching and demonstrating with his own life what it means to be trained in following Christ as a disciple. Remember the Great Commission? What did Jesus say just before he ascended? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. So disciples are followers, following Christ's command, training them to follow Christ. And he said, and surely I'll be with you until I come back, until the end of this age. But even though Paul started this church, there's many problems that sprang up after he left, and for different reasons. Some just stopped doing what he told them to do. Some were trained differently by other trainers. Some picked and chose which trainer they preferred to follow. Some were new, and they weren't trained at all, or they were confused about which training to follow. Corinth was a church with much in common with the church in modern America and in the West. It was surrounded by a sea of pagans. Are we surrounded by a sea of pagans? Yes, we are. They were worshiping many different gods, and people are following many idols, and the purpose and the love of their life is many things besides God. And many were living openly wild and uncontrolled lives. And the funny thing is, they looked down on the Christians and said the Christians were the ones who were antisocial and were making trouble. And that can happen to us today too. So it was a church, Corinth was a church full of former pagans and former legalists. So you had Gentiles and Jews who were used to being very righteous, but in a self-righteous way. And so they struggled to put their past behind them and to live out the new life they had in Christ. Corinth was a church with many problems. That was bad for them, but good for us. Why is that good for us? It's nice to learn from someone else's mistake, isn't it? I was second born. I had an older brother. He made a lot of mistakes. When we were first driving the car, of course, he had his license here before I did, he backed into several objects. And he would say, if they were movable, that someone put it behind the car when he wasn't looking. Well, one time, the city came out and dug a big ditch near the sewer right on our corner, and he backed into it. That was hard to say that they dug that while he wasn't looking. So I was a little more careful than he was. He might have been a better driver, but I was more careful. It's nice to learn from someone else's mistakes. And so Because they had many problems, we can learn what Paul's answer was for those problems, because it's easy for churches to have those problems. Like, one, divisions within the church, misunderstanding the gospel. There were factions following favorite Christian leaders. They were enticed by health and wealth preaching. You know, the kind on the TV. Give to this ministry and you will be healthy and God will give you lots of money. There were fights and lawsuits even between church members. And there was sexual immorality. And one, Paul said, the people outside don't even do this. And so it was good that he addressed these problems. But also it was a church with many questions. Now, if you have a question, you should ask it, but sometimes people are shy to ask questions. Well, they ask a lot of questions, and Paul answered these questions. What about marriage and sex? What about divorce and remarriage? What about eating food that's been sacrificed to idols? What about clean and unclean food? Is there such a thing as unclean food? Are idols real? Are demons real? What about speaking in tongues and other spiritual gifts? The resurrection, did it happen, or was it a spiritual thing? And so he answers these things. Remember that coaches cannot be a positive all the time. And so they have to be negative sometimes and make corrections. And so Paul did that with these people. Paul was a coach, and his letter was scripture. Let's read this again. Maybe by the end we'll have memorized it. 2 Timothy 3:16. Say that. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Is that what you want to be? Thoroughly equipped? Then we need this. Not just teaching, but we need rebuking and correcting and training. And we can do that in the context of our unicycle club, in the context of our team, our weightlifting team, or our church. And so let's look at a problem that they had in Corinth. He talks about it in verses 10, 11, and 12. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Verse 11, my brothers, some from Chloe's household squealed on you. No, they informed me that there's been quarrels, fighting among you. And what I mean is this. Some say, I follow Paul's training. No, I follow Apollos' training. It's on the internet. I follow, we say Cephas, it's actually Kephas. Who's Kephas? It's Peter, Aramaic for rock. And I follow Christ. They were fighting about who they were following. If you look on the internet, there are many different programs. And some say, these are the exercises that you need to do. These are the three exercises that all men should do over age 50. These are the 7 best exercises for men. These are the 10 best. There was a bunch of them. I just picked this one. Barbell row, barbell and dumbbell chest presses. That would be like a bench press. Barbell squats. That's what we did here. The pull-up, deadlift. That doesn't mean after you do it, you die. It means it's laying on the floor as a dead weight and you bend over and pick it up and stand up, okay? Shoulder press, that can be also called the military press or the overhead press, and the power clean, which I have never done. But I believe it's like a deadlift, and you bring it up to here, right? And if you go further, what's that called? Press or jerk. It's a combination of clean and jerk, which is not two friends. One's dirty and the other is not as clean. It's a combination lift. Now, one thing I agree with, which I didn't really know before, is that free weights are so much better than machines, because you can get machines that do all these things, lift up and out, and guess why it's better? If you're lifting, you know, but if you don't lift, why do you, I'll let you answer the question. Why would free weights be better than machines? Because with a machine, you can't go like this, and you can't go like that. You have to balance it side to side. And so you're not just using the muscles that push it up. You have to control it, right? And that actually improves your core. See, we could have had Simon coach and Blaine lift, but then the bar would be up here, and I wouldn't be able to reach it. So we did it that way, because they both know how to do it. I think Blaine showed Simon, right? But now Simon has showed people, right? Yeah, so once you learn it, you can show other people. I like this one, right? Here we go back. No, go back. Don't let him see that one. Okay. Again, this is the art of manliness, right? And so he's lifting this weight. They're calling it the overhead press here. It's also called the military press. And what did they call it back there? They called it the shoulder press, yeah. Well, shoulder press can also be at different angles. And so it shows you how to do it, what muscles it strengthens. But I know some of you are just too busy. Like, I don't know how you have all this time. You're so busy, and you got little kids at home, you too. Well, here's the next one, shows you if you're busy with children, you can actually incorporate them in. Can you see that? Baby as a kettlebell, the goblet squat with a baby, medicine ball toss, the side-to-side rotation with the, like, and also the bicep curls, right? You've done that. It's like, this baby is heavy. How do women carry them all day? Well, they have special equipment that they can use, and then the front legs. Well, okay, that's just funny. So we're going to go through 1 Corinthians expositionally. That means we're going to read the text and understand what it means and how it applies to us. We're going to do exegesis, not eisegesis. Exegesis means the meaning comes out of the text, not we're putting our own meaning into the text. That's eisegesis. So we're going to exegete it. And we're going to look now at the first 9 verses, and then we'll call it. We'll close. I'll read verse 1. I'll read the odd verses, that's fitting, and then you read the even verses, and together we'll read verse 9, okay? So 1 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Together, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. Now that's encouraging. Here's a church with lots of problems. Lots of problems. We listed some of those problems. And what does he say? He says, God will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. What does that mean? God is going to be responsible for your training. Is he going to lift the weight for you? No. He's going to show you how to do it, and then as you do it, starting off, you don't start off more than you can handle, you get injured, right? And that's not good. You start off with what you can handle, but if you stick with the program, you progress. You progress and you don't get injured. And you succeed, and that's fun. And when people see you doing it, what will they want to do? They'll want to do the same thing. Now, you have to start at the beginning. Now, people have different beginning points in different parts of their life, right? And also, there's some adjustment, too, there's personal differences. Your squat's going to be slightly different from someone with a different body type. Some people have long legs, long femurs, and short trunks. Some people have short femurs and long trunks. It's going to be different. But it'll be mostly the same, but it'll be a little bit different. And some people will be strong in one area and weak in another. But if you have good training, you will improve. And that's what God wants to do. He will get us through it, but we have to listen to him. We have to follow the instructions. We have to be trained. If we don't follow the training, we won't succeed. We'll just have watched a lot of videos on YouTube. And we can say what the best programs are, what the best Bible teaching is, but it doesn't do any good if we don't follow it, right? And that's what the church is to do. We are to encourage one another in following God's instructions and grow in our loving one another, in our bearing with one another's burdens, and also asking for help. And like, am I doing this right? Not really. You know, you need to be more straight. You need to have your legs farther apart or your feet pointed out. We need to be able to talk to one another and give and take that kind of feedback. But be encouraged. A church with a lot of problems. You know, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, right, are in the Bible. What's the first letter Paul wrote to Corinth? We don't know. Because the 1 Corinthians is his second letter. And 2 Corinthians is his fourth letter. What happened to the first letter? God didn't save that one. What happened to his third letter? God didn't say that one. He saved these two, and we call them 1st and 2nd Corinthians, but we have proof within the text. When we get there, we'll show you the proof that he had written other letters, but God didn't save those. He saved these because these are the ones we need. And I'm thankful that he did, because they had lots of problems, and he gave them the answers, and they had lots of questions, and he gave them the solutions to those. So, be encouraged. God is faithful, and he's going to take us through the training together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God, how it's Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what we want to be. Help us to build up one another in following your instructions and see that we actually grow and increase and succeed at this, and that others join us in that. And that's a wonderful thing. And we know that you care about every part of our life, our lives, including our physical part, our social relationships with one another, our families. Lord, just help us to rely on you and do everything with your spirit and in your power and to your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.